U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground is a source of pride for people who live in southwestern Arizona. Its main mission, support the U.S. military and sometimes military from other nations by making sure the equipment it uses, everything from clothing to flashlights, vehicles, and weapons are effective and safe to use. But that's far from all it does. I'm Lou Gum. This is Arizona Edition Live, show number 39. YPG is led by Colonel Ross Poffenberger. He's been a guest on Arizona Edition Live before and told us it's his dream job. We'll find out if that's still true as he faces perhaps his biggest challenge as a leader, the start of road construction on the main road to YPG from Yuma. Just kidding. Colonel Poffenberger, thank you for coming in.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Thanks for having me on the show today.
You bet. We'll talk about road construction in just a moment, something that we've talked about in the past. But I want to begin with Veterans Day. If you could, as a serving member of the military, what role does Veterans Day play for currently serving military personnel? How do they think about it?
Well, I tell you, you know, it's a way that we can reflect and you know, the community, this one in particular, but so many communities across the nation just really roll out the red carpet on Veterans Day in particular. It really makes us, you know, honored to do what we do. Not necessary, but certainly feel good. But what I'd like to say is you know, I look at the other veterans that, you know, served for a period of time years ago. I look at it then, my father, case in point, you know, served back in the 60s in the Navy, and it's a time for him to reflect on his service as well. And so I really, you know, take a lot of pride in that. The other thing that I really, you know, makes us feel good, especially now, is you know, the warm reception that we have. You know, case in point, coming back from, you know, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, myself getting off the plane, and it wasn't necessarily Veterans Day, but just the heartfelt welcome that we receive. You know, getting off the plane, there's various groups that have been out there, you know, welcoming soldiers returning home. And my father-in-law was in Vietnam. It wasn't the same reception when he got back. And so what I'll say is the nation has, you know, really gone above and beyond to show us welcome. And Veterans Day is just one thing that they recognize us for. And so in turn, every Vietnam veteran I see, I say, hey, this is what I had when I come back. You know, it's what you deserve also. And so,
what value do you see in current members of the military maintaining some relationship with a veteran?
I don't understand this.
So why would a serving member of the military need to maybe have a relationship with a veteran?
Well, I mean, we are veterans. You know, so one of the things too is you know, you look, currently less than 1% of the population really knows current serving veterans. Our force is reduced to being so relatively small. And so, you know, when those businesses open up and give discounts and stuff and recognize veterans, it's an opportunity that they can see and ask questions and, hey, what's it like now? Because, again, you know, so few of the public, you know, ever really interface with active veterans.
And I guess that's what I'm asking. What can current serving military members learn from retired veterans, and what's the importance of that relationship between the two?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so as with anything, there's all kinds of change. You know, the military has certainly changed, you know, over the years. You know, look at the time that my father was in, and, you know, everything was you know, so labor-intensive, and in what you do now, so much of it is, you know, automated in what we do, and you look at the advanced technologies that are out there. And, you know, as I interface with my dad and other, you know, older vets, they're just, you know, blown away by, you know, the amazing technologies that we have out there. So.
And still something to learn from the way they did things, too.
Yep, that's right. Sure.
What are the ways that YPG honors veterans, especially in this upcoming weekend, and what are your plans?
Okay, so I tell you, Yuma is one of the most patriotic, you know, towns in the nation, and it's great. We've got the Yuma Veterans Day Parade going on, and so we're going to be participating in that at YPG. We're going to have some soldiers out there with some military equipment. I'll be in the parade myself. And it's just great, the, you know, the outpouring of support, you know, in this community. As far as what YPG is doing specifically, we're shutting the post down, and we're giving everybody a good break here for the weekend, you know. But we're encouraging everybody to go out and participate in all the great events going on in town.
And thank a veteran if you meet one.
That's right.
Let's move on to US 95. Last time you were here, which was 30 shows ago, I figured out this morning, we were talking about the importance of that stretch of US 95 from Yuma to YPG and how there have been some accidents on that road, and it's dark. It's just a two-lane highway to get out there. Some big changes since you were here last. A big project, a $28 million project to begin with some construction out there. What was YPG's role in that, or how were you briefed about how that would all happen?
Well, so, you know, what I'll say is it just shows the value the state puts on YPG and what we're doing. You know, what my role was is essentially nothing other than educate and inform and talking with our civic leaders on the importance of that Highway 95. It's one of the busiest, if not the busiest, two-lane stretch of highway in the state, and especially with our workforce getting back and forth. And so some of the things that I did is I just talked about, hey, what's it like in the, you know, a day in the life of a YPG employee, you know, the great things that they do for this nation in terms of, you know, testing and developing the next great technologies that the Army uses. And as I looked at that, you know, the accidents and several deaths over the last couple of years out there, just talked about, hey, the most dangerous thing some of those folks do is drive that stretch of highway. So I talked about some of those stories, and the state recognized that and was very supportive. And, you know, our state representatives went to, you know, the Capitol and got $28 million this year in the state budget to improve, you know, a portion of it. It's going to be a larger project over the next couple of years, but hopefully we continue to get that support and we get that road improved all the way out to our installation.
Because construction is a trial in and of itself, getting through it. How will YPG be briefed on construction? Does it need to be?
Well, I tell you, as a matter of fact, about 2-3 weeks ago, I do quarterly, we call them all hands, where we bring the workforce in and spend the afternoon kind of talking about current issues and what's going on. I talked about YPG and I said, hey, look, guys, here's the deal. You're going to love me and hate me. You're going to hate me in the near term, because for the foreseeable future in your life, Highway 95 is probably going to be tore up as it's under construction. The benefit is, you know, we had a lot of support from the state, and it's going to be improved. So, you know, started talking about that, and I'm already seeing the positive feedback from that. You know, we do an annual command climate survey, and every year there's comments on there that the most dangerous thing I do is drive back and forth to work, and I can attest to the fact of how dangerous it is. But in any event, some other positive comments, some thanks. Hey, you know, the state's seeing what we need, and they're investing in getting that better.
The construction addresses some of the road conditions. What about addressing maybe YPG employees and people who drive out there? Have they been asked to adjust perhaps their driving?
Well, you know, I mean, we haven't, other than you know, we heavily encourage the V-Ride that we have, so carpooling to get back and forth to reduce the amount of traffic. You know, there's benefits for that for those folks. So we encourage that. But really, right now, it's in the awareness phase. It's, hey, take a look. And, you know, the first phase is right out here. They just did a nice project right on 95 as it comes into Arizona Western here with the new stoplight and stuff. And so they're starting to see the small steps, you know, leading up to it. And so, again, we continue to talk about it. We have safety meetings often and talk about a variety of things, but just, you know, always talking about, hey, you know, pay attention out there on Highway 95. And really, in addition to paying attention, is don't make unsafe passes. You know, I mean, we talk about that. We see it, and you know, I mean, still folks do it. Hopefully it's not YPG folks. Hopefully it's an out-of-towner just trying to hurry up and get to Yuma or something. But the bottom line is, you know, it is a dangerous road, and we have a lot of awareness about it.
And really the most dangerous parts, once it gets to that, as you're heading out of Yuma, gets to that two-lane part. So you've got four lanes for a little while, and then it kind of makes the curve, and you go into that two lanes, and that's when it starts to get a little tricky.
Yep. Yep, that's it. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, folks wanting to pass just before that, you know, those S curves going out there. And so Bottom line, dangerous road, you know, we've got awareness about it, but the state's stepping in. Our representatives, again, can't thank them enough for what they've done to support us.
And I think that that light that you mentioned at 8E and 95 is actually going to make a difference right away. It just kind of started this week.
That's right. Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about some of the winter business that will be taking place at YPG, including an opportunity for the public to come out to YPG and take a look. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. This is Arizona Edition live on KAWC. My guest today is YPG Commander Colonel Ross Poppenberger. I was reading an article, Colonel, in the Outpost, and that people who aren't familiar with that, that's kind of the YPG newspaper that it really updates you a lot on what's going on out there and covers it as a kind of a city, a little community.
Yep.
So I was reading an article by Mark Schauer, who's standing behind me. I'll just fully reveal. And it was full of terms like the Army Futures Command, cross-functional teams building a future force, high-intensity conflict, waging irregular warfare. Boy, that makes me curious about what the heck's going on out there in the coming months.
Well, I tell you what, I got to first start off with giving Mark a plug. That guy, he does a phenomenal job with the Outpost and educating and informing. And, you know, his articles are all great. And so there's a lot of opportunities to get your hands on that. And I'd highly recommend it. And all of Mark's articles are phenomenal in there. So the bottom line is the Army's shifted as we're, you know, coming out of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan's, you know, slowing down. You know, we've been so focused on the small unit threat and irregular warfare that it's time to get back to prepare for a near-peer adversary. Specifically in our national defense strategy, we outline the Chinese and the Russians. And so the Army says, hey, how are we going to do something about this? How are we going to modernize and spend our precious dollars in the primary topics or the primary technologies and systems that we need to properly prepare against it? So they set up a four-star command. It's called Army Futures Command, focused on, you know, how do we do this? It, you know, historically there's been numerous examples of spending dollars on all kinds of different, you know, ideas, and some get legs and become programs of records and become new equipment, and some don't. And so those ones that don't, although, you know, not a bad thing to invest and, you know, take a look at technology, as, you know, what we're looking at is how do we really get some momentum behind some things that we need? And instead of having a bunch of good ideas, let's skinny that down to focus on the ideas that we really need to develop. Specifically, historically, we've been outgunned as far as distance by our near-peer adversaries. And so we're doing something about it right now. And the number one priority is precision long-range fires. So we're extending the range of our conventional artillery. And so that's one of our cross-functional teams. And so the Army Futures Command has broken it down into eight different, you know, kind of technology categories, so to speak, and in their cross-functional teams. And we have representatives from the user community, we have representatives from the S&T community, the requirements community, and we focus on, you know, hey, what of the multitude of things that we could invest in are we going to? So you know, specifically, you know, well, there's eight, and I'll list them. There's a long-range precision fires, that's artillery and rockets and some of those things to really extend the range. There's the next generation combat vehicle, so think, you know, ground combat vehicles, tanks, and infantry carriers. There's future vertical lift, which is the next generation helicopters. There's the network, and there's a multitude of things associated with a network. As we go forward, everything's going to be talking and interconnected with itself. So focusing on the key things on tying systems together network-wise. There's soldier lethality. There's assured position, navigation, and timing. So think GPS, like was developed here at YPG. So now everybody's got GPS. Hey, are there technologies out there that we can do to operate in a GPS-denied environment? And so, you know, that's a big focus. There's air and missile defense. And the last thing is, the last one is a synthetic training environment. You know, so those are the big categories. And synthetic training environment is essentially, you know, simulators to help train on the systems that we develop. So of those, YPG is a primary developmental test center for six of those eight cross-functional teams, with our specialty being long-range fires. And so it's really significant, some of the work that we're doing out there. Specifically, you know, our artillery, you know, shoots approximately, you know, 35 kilometers. And, you know, it's pretty significant. It's long ways to go.
Yeah.
But last year, we tested a round that went through the hood of a vehicle, a target vehicle, out on one of our ranges at 62 kilometers. And so we're essentially doubling the range of our artillery. And I love the way we had, you know, now Secretary of Defense, he was Secretary of the Army when he came out to YPG, Secretary Mark Esper. And in our press conference there, he said, well, since the dawn of time, the caveman that could throw the spear the farthest had the most decisive advantage. Well, you know, we're getting on top with the long range fires. And so that's, you know, YPG's main wheelhouse. And so the Army Futures Command and the CFTs is the process for which we are focusing on doing those things.
And that sets the priority for not just the next year or a few months, but for the next several years.
For decades, for the next, you know, specifically the next decade, we've got a phenomenal amount of work coming into YPG in support of these. Case in point, the cannon that I just talked about, we're on track to field that system in 2028. That's our focus. And in addition to that, we're already working on the groundwork for the next generation, the leap ahead cannon beyond that, which will be significantly better than that as well. So a lot of work. As I say, you know, we've positioned YPG to, you know, lead the Army for the next several decades to come. And YPG has been around for the past 75 years. So it's a significant, I call it a national treasure, frankly.
There aren't a lot of ways that local residents can sort of tell what's going on at YPG, but when you test some of those big guns, that's one of the ways that the city kind of hears what's going on out there at times.
Well, so, you know, I have to say, I think, you know, rarely does the sound of those large cannons get all the way into Yuma. You know, with the Muggins range and the way, you know, YPG is set up and where our ranges are, we are pretty quiet out there, you know, per the Yuma community. There's other things, you know, going on that's not necessarily YPG specific, you know, noise, you know, but so I think rarely, maybe it's atmospheric conditions
right.
are just right. You might
right.
hear something, but you know, for those of us that live out there, you know, we're hearing them,
yeah.
You know, all the time. But really, you know, that Muggins range kind of contains the most of it, I believe, down into the YPG range.
Oh, we just got a few minutes left, but there is a way for regular people to kind of get a sense of what's going on out at YPG, and of course, they can't get a look at everything that's going on out there. But last year, you held an open house.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go? What did you learn about opening up the base in that way to the public?
Well, I tell you, it was well received in the Yuma community. So we had about 13,000 people, you know, on our parade field that day. And what I learned is it was way more received than we thought. The numbers went through the roof on that, and we had probably about, you know, 5,000 to 8,000 folks that were stuck on Highway 95 trying to get onto YPG. So that was our huge lesson learned. That, hey, people want to come out and see what we're doing. And so we've done a lot of work, a lot of in-process reviews over the past year to figure out, hey, how can we, you know, control that flow and make it better so that folks can come out. And so we've done a great job. My chief of police is just fantastic. And we figured out, you know, we're going to park on one side of post and then have a shuttle bus running, you know, over to the parade field. And so that'll keep the traffic flow going. Really what happened is the traffic was just backed up with parking, but we're going to park folks out on our airfield out there. And it's an easy in and easy out. So the traffic will flow and then we'll shuttle folks back and forth.
And what kinds of things can people get a look at?
All right, so we're going to have, you know, a lot of the latest technology, some new combat vehicles, some of the tanks and fighting vehicles. We're going to have some aircraft out there that are you know, some developmental, some things fielded. We'll have our airborne test force jumpers out there with parachutes and stuff. So it'll be a great opportunity for the public to come out and see some of these new development projects and what we're doing. But in addition to that, it's a celebration, right? So it's our way to give back to the community. So we've got an American band coming to America's Test Center, and the band is Grand Funk Railroad, and so yeah. they're gonna help us celebrate. And so throughout the day there'll be some other bands and activities going on with Grand Funk Railroad being our headliner. But we're looking forward to a great time and just invite the community to come out and enjoy it.
And the date is set for in February, right?
February 15th. You know, save the date, mark your calendars, and come on out. If I got a second, too, I'd also like to talk about some other opportunities that the community has to come out and see some of the great work that's going on out at YPG. You know, Mark Schauer here, you know, he lines up a tour called Behind the Big Guns. And there's 8 of these a year, and I don't have the dates written down here, but there's various sources, you know, check in with the Yuma Visitor Bureau to find those dates, sign up, and we invite the public to come out and go drive around and see some of the work being done out there on YPG.
And if you were discouraged last year, don't be discouraged this coming February.
Yeah, we think we've mitigated a lot of the challenges for those folks. My good partner, Colonel Dave Suggs, was one of those guys that didn't make it out. I called him. I said, hey, where are you? I was expecting you to be here. And he's like, I'm stuck in your traffic jam. So I think we got our hands wrapped around the traffic jam that we're going to have a good flow.
All right, we've done it again. We've run out of time. Colonel Ross Bachenberger of YPG, thank you so much for coming in.
It's been an honor. Thanks for having me.
All right, and he'll be back again. This is Arizona Edition Live.